The summer sermon series title, The Story in Stained Glass, features the Good Samaritan window. The Bible reading is from Luke 10:25-37, and it is recorded on page 71 in the New Testament portion of the Red Pew Bible, on the screen or in your bulletin. Luke 10:25-37, The Good Samaritan. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell in the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the road on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he moved with pity, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please pull up a pew. Our summer sermon series on the stained glass visits the Good Samaritan window, which is here on the west side. It's one of our oldest church windows, dated, as you can see in fine print there, 1920. So that window is knocking on a century old. We'll dedicate it next year. The script there at the very bottom is Auf Deutsch in German. Allow me to translate it for those of you who cannot read German. Wives are to massage their heads, the husband's head, shoulders, arms, and back. Cook them their favorite meal every day and cater to their every need. Who believes that? I see men's hands up. No. It says this: given in memory of Dr. Wilhelm Keitel, the first doctor in Fredericksburg, and his son, Dr. Albert Keitel, gifted from his son, Dr. Victor Keitel, 1920. So this window of the Good Samaritan was given by Dr. Victor in memory of his father, Albert, and in memory of his grandfather, Wilhelm. All three of these were physicians here in Gillespie County, with Wilhelm being the very first doctor here. All were also Holy Ghosters. And Wilhelm dates all the way back to the beginnings of Fredericksburg, Gillespie County, as well as Holy Ghost Lutheran Church in the 1840s. This resource book has been quite helpful for me as I've been reading some of the background stories on some of the people who influenced these windows. It's called Pioneers in God's Hills, and it cites that this first Dr. Keitel came here, and I read this quote: "To accept the challenge to go to the new colony of Fredericksburg to begin a community service," and he carried this on for the remainder of his life. And that he did. as the Chronicles tell about all of the service that this man did, and not just he, but the generations to come, his son and his son's son. There's this spirit of service that it was in the Keitel DNA that this book testifies to for these three men for 100 plus years. Impeccable dedication to medicine and the care of any and all in need. You know, that legacy then continued in what was then known as Keitel Hospital. It's at the corner still of Lincoln Street, Main Street. It's now Der Kuchenladen, the kitchen store, on the first level. And on the lower level, it's the Rathskeller restaurant. Generations continue here in Holy Ghost in the persons of Judy Vordenbaum. Where are you, Judy? Yeah, right over there, yep. Stuart Barron and Gus and Sam Barron. All are direct descendants of these Keitels. And Wilhelm would be the great, 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 great grandfather of Sam and Gus Barron. That's amazing, is it not? So I believe, without question, this window, the story of the Good Samaritan, is so appropriately attributed to the memory of these doctors, their ministries, who sought to bring healing and hope and wholeness here in Gillespie County. Well, what a history, huh? And what a window. With all of this in mind, let's see what this Bible story then tells us about our own faith. I really like this depiction of the Good Samaritan story, because what is very obvious, what's very vivid, is that in this picture, the Good Samaritan is Jesus. You look around at the other pictures of Jesus here in our sanctuary. You got the one of the Good Shepherd over here. You got the one of Jesus knocking at the door. Very similar in the features. It's no doubt that the Good Samaritan in this story is Jesus. And when you think about it, he is the ultimate Good Samaritan, is he not? I mean, Jesus ministers to us. He doctors us in two ways. One, spiritually. He brings healing to our souls. He heals us from the sin that infects us. And I got to believe that it's true that the one he's ministering to, the one on the side of the road in the ditch, is who? But us, stripped of our innocence, beaten down with guilt, naked in our shame, off the path in the waywardness of sin. That's us. And he rushes to our side to bring forgiveness. As we repent of our sins, he brings us freedom of guilt. He lifts us up to new life. He cleanses the wounds of our hearts. He carries us out of the ditch of despair. And guess who pays for it all? He does. The price for our recovery is high. His blood shed for us on the cross. And what does the story say? He tells the innkeeper, I'm going to come back and I'm going to keep paying you whatever is incurred as an expense. Isn't that what Jesus continues to do for us as we ask for forgiveness again and again? It's been paid for. Yes, indeed, he is, first of all, spiritually our Good Samaritan. But he also can be our physical and emotional Good Samaritan as well, particularly when we experience brokenness. You know, there's so many dark forces in this world that are just sort of laying in wait, laying in hiding on the side of the road, looking for an opportunity to strike a blow that would hinder us or defeat us. You know, we experience it through things like worry or being drowned in a devastation, maybe stricken with a sickness or pounded with pain, frustrated with finances or foiled with fear, crippled by a crime, or grappled with grief. Jesus is the one who invites us. Jesus is the one who is there for us. He offers us the balm of hope to our injuries. And you know, he can do that in the snap of a finger in a miracle. And I know that's how I would prefer, right? When something's going wrong in my life physically, I'd love the miracle to happen. And thanks be to God, sometimes he does. But other times, he provides for those along our way. He puts them in the path of our journey. People like doctors and nurses and modern medicine, therapists and friends. And ultimately, the kind of healing that he brings to our hearts and our broken lives is that eternal Good Samaritan gift, the gift of eternal life. When we close our eyes and breathe our last in this life and open our eyes and breathe our first in eternal life. You see, Jesus, it is Jesus who is the ultimate Good Samaritan in this picture. And even more than being a Good Samaritan, he's our great physician, the healer of our every ill. So what? So what do we do with that? You know, we receive it. We take it in. Thanks be to God, he gives it and we take it, right? But he calls us to be more than just takers. He calls us to be more than just to receive his goodness and grace in healing, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In thanksgiving for what he's given to us, he then calls us to be good Samaritan to others, to be him to others, to be that good Samaritan to those as we look around us who are in need. And in thanksgiving and in the name of Jesus, we want to administer care and love and hope and strength and peace and light, particularly to those who are in need around us, so that we might point to the ultimate Good Samaritan as our Lord and as our Savior. You see, we are cared by Jesus so that we might care for others in the name of Jesus. Those who are burdened, those who are struggling, we want to bring them the ointment of our time. We want to bind up their hurts with resources that we can possibly offer that are unique to each and every one of us. We want to lift them from their weakness or their heavy ladenness. We're called to bandage their wounds with words of hope and comfort or a listening ear. We're called sometimes to transport them physically from their home, maybe to the doctor or to HEB or Walmart to go shopping. Or maybe we're called to transport them to the throne of God through our prayers. Maybe prepare a meal for them or clean their home. And you know, so many times, being the Good Samaritan means that it's on our dime. It costs us something. But we know that in doing, somehow, some way, we help shelter others from the pain and the darkness of this world. A couple of weeks back, Tammy and I got away to the mountains of Colorado. Why did we come back? We enjoyed 49-degree mornings and sitting out there on the porch, you know, with a jacket on, my coffee and reading the Bible. Oh, I had to take off the jacket when it got up to 75 in the afternoons. But it was sweet. Oh, it was sweet. We did a few things in the Colorado Springs area. One was go to a wolf sanctuary. Do you know that there are fewer than 500 wolves in the entire United States? Zero in the state of Texas. Oh, maybe in a zoo. 31 of these 500 are at a Colorado rescue refuge, and they live there in pairs. They pair them up, male and a female, and they put them in about a one-acre tract, and they're fenced in. And so we got to visit. We got to hear the stories. We got to hear about how they have saved so many of these in a rescue program. And they're at this sanctuary. They're protected. They're sheltered. They're nourished and they're cared for. And some of these animals cost thousands of dollars to bring them back to health and to continue to maintain that health. This foundation, in a way, you think about it, is being Good Samaritan to the wolf population by providing sanctuary. And as I thought about this story, I thought about that great thing that's happening for the wolves. I got to thinking that if we can do this for animals, as Christians, how much more so can we certainly do it for people? The question for us to live with this next week is this: to whom can you provide sanctuary? To whom can you offer shelter or invest in or offer a care. And it may cost you something, and you may never receive anything in return for it. To whom can you be good Samaritan in a very intentional way? In other words, to whom can you be Jesus? This past school year, I participated in a mentoring program. You know, there's lots of kids in our school district who have only one parent and might could use a little support there. There's others who have two parents, but maybe an additional caring adult in their life is a good thing for them. And so, you know, you sign up for these things, right? You sign up for these volunteer programs, and you think that it's going to be all about you pouring into others, investing in others. And that's true. You do some of that. But, you know, it's so mutual, isn't it? So mutual, what you receive back and not just what you give. I was matched with a junior high boy, and I got him used to me saying to him, at the end of each of our visits, give me a hug. Real men hug. And so, you know, after a couple of weeks, I guess he maybe just kind of was putting up with me or what have you, he started to offer a little gentle hug. And that, of course, was with no peers around, nobody looking, just kind of in the privacy of our little corner over there. And so we would have this little bro embrace. Well, 25 weeks of that, just a half-hour meeting from September through May, we'd end our time every time, give me a hug. And so we'd hug. Well, I attended his track meet in May, and I didn't know if he really even wanted me to be there or if he would recognize me in front of his peers, because now, you know, he was running around with his peers and, you know, with the shorts on and the muscle shirts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I know junior high kids got to be cool, right? And maybe having your pastor around, having me around isn't a cool, really good thing to do. Well, he competed in his event, and he ended up getting the blue ribbon. He was so excited that he came running up to me, and he said, I got first place. I said, I know. I saw it. I was here. And then right in front of all of his macho friend athlete peers, he elatedly said, give me a hug. And so we did, right there in front of God and everybody. I'm not sharing that story to talk about me. I'm sharing that story to talk about the value of investing in others. Just talking, just caring, telling stories, sharing stories. And then he asked me for a hug. To whom might you think about being an intentional good Samaritan to and beginning something special in this next week? Jesus tells us in this story that the churchy people, the priest and the Levite, the people who are the religious people, the people who basically lived in the synagogues, lived in the church, they knew what they should have been doing. And more than likely, as they were coming, the story says, from Jerusalem to Jericho, being religious people, they probably in Jerusalem went to the temple. And they were traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's what the story says. And in Jerusalem, they probably went to the church. They heard God's word. They sang songs. They said prayers. They offered their offerings. And then they walk out of church and they're headed back home. And what do they see but someone in need? They were the ones who knew that their faith calls us to be good Samaritan, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to pour into them. And yet, look closely at this story. Look closely at this window. They have their backs to the man. One even has a Bible in his hand and is reading it. Can you believe that? Person here, and I'm busy reading my Bible. The other person appears that he's having prayers to God. Oh, God, please send someone to help this guy. Is that religious or what? How hypocritical. God's word says this in James chapter 1. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. To whom in Jesus' name might you be not just Good Samaritan, but Jesus too? There's a couple in our church family. I think you know them. They most of the time are here at the early church, used to, but now they come to the late church because they've bit off a big bite. You know the Urshes, Debbie and Alan Ursh? We also know that they've had some extra companions with them, have you not? Yeah, Sebastian, age 2, one on the left, and Alex, almost 1, they're on the right. They have taken under wing, under their roof, under their love and care, they're investing in these 2 young people. In talking to Alan, Alan says this, "It's the hardest thing we've ever done in life." And I know Alan's done some very hard things in this life. When asked why are you doing this? The answer was, maybe we can make a difference in their lives. Urshes are also quick to say that many have been good Samaritan to them. Meals, prayers, support, encouragement. You and I are called to make a difference in the name of Jesus by being good Samaritan to those that we see with our eyes, those that we can hear their cries, those that we can feel with our hearts, those that we can respond with our resources, those who are weak and heavy laden. We are called to respond in the name of Jesus, not just to be receivers of his goodness, but to be givers of that goodness. And here's the formula, real simple, here's the formula. Identify the need, respond in faith. Identify the need, respond in faith. There was an old man walking on the morning beach. He came upon a boy who was picking up starfish that had washed ashore during the night's tide. He stopped and was tossing them back into the ocean. The old man asked the boy why he was doing this. The boy answered, "Well, you know, they washed ashore in the night, they're alive. But as the sun gets up and as it heats up the sand, they're going to get dried out and they're going to die unless someone throws them back into the water." The old man peers ahead and sees miles of beach and thousands of starfish. He says, "There are more starfish than you can ever save here, boy. You cannot make a difference." And then the little boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and sailed it into the sea. Then he looked up at the old man, he smiled, and he said, "It made a difference for that one." Make a difference. Be good Samaritan to others. No, be Jesus to others. Amen.